Well, the last couple of times we were together here, we talked about Job. We talked about building a hedge around your life and what some of the things that Job did to build a hedge around his life. And so one of the things that Job had on his side was integrity. But integrity is a result, of something that is said in Daniel. I just want to quote these to you, and then we'll go to Psalm 84, and that'll be our main text for this evening. In Daniel, I'm just going to quote two verses here for you. Chapter 5, talking about Daniel, verse 12 says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, the same was found in Daniel." And then in chapter 6, kind of says that same concept. Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." And you know that Daniel had an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit is something that I believe that we can build within ourselves through the Word of God. And it's necessary to build in ourselves. So Psalm 84, we can look at this together. Psalm 84 in verse 11 tells us this. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." You know, walking uprightly deals with integrity. Integrity is a major key in building an excellent spirit within us. Integrity means this. Means a rigid adherence to a core or standard of values. It means the quality, or refers to the quality or condition of being whole or undivided. Integrity means, you know, to simplify it, means making the right choices and decisions that comply to a code of our values. Integrity. It's a word that's necessary. It's a word that could easily be lost in our society today. And, you know, truth be told, we can all improve in integrity. All of us can improve. We can always improve in everything. Isn't that right? Integrity is actually an issue of the heart. That's really what it is. And God is always looking for it. Why? Why would God look for integrity? Well, who would you trust with real treasures? Who would you choose? Who would you select to give precious and valuable things to? It'd be someone you trusted with it, right? It'd be someone that, you know, showed and demonstrated integrity. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look at a few examples of integrity in the Bible. How about some examples of non-integrity or lack of integrity? Well, you can watch the news for that. And in a lot of cases, you can watch, you know, the upcoming election stuff. You know, people say they're going to do this, and people say they're going to do that. But really, if you say you're going to do something, what should you do? What you said you're going to do. Isn't that right? and that would be integrity. And if you're not capable of doing what you say, then you need to make that right too. Hey, you know, I said I was going to do this, but I wasn't able to do it. Something came up, you know, wasn't able to do it. Like, you know, if you make an appointment and you forget about it, then, you know, you forgot about it. Then you should let the individual, hey, you know what? As soon as you remember, you ought to get home. Hey, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. I told you I was going to do it. I forgot about it. I'm sorry. And then integrity would not make excuses for that. Since we're opening that can up a little bit, right? Well, you know, it's because just I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Leave it at that. You know, because once you start making excuses for something you didn't follow through with, you're just ruining an apology. That'd be integrity. That's how integrity looks. Kind of a lost thing today in a lot of cases, isn't it? But it shouldn't be us, right? It shouldn't be the church. It shouldn't be the body of Christ. We ought to be the people that others want to make deals with, want to make agreements with, more than anyone, right? Because we should always swear to our own word and then change not. 1 Samuel chapter 16 said that integrity is an issue of the heart. Now here in verse 1, the Lord said to Saul, you see, Saul was king. Saul had just lost his, basically lost his kingship because he didn't obey everything God told him to do. Saul failed basically with his integrity in the 15th chapter. He didn't follow through with what God told him to do. And then when he got called on the carpet about it, then he didn't just step up and fess up and say, yeah, you know what? I did wrong. No, he blamed it on the people. He blamed it on everything. I mean, he just did not take responsibility. And integrity has to take responsibility. Right? And so we pick up here, he's lost his kingdom, and the Lord speaks to Samuel here in 16:1. He says, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill up your horn with oil and go, and I'll send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. See, God looking ahead. God's always looking ahead. How many know we're all replaceable? Integrity get us removed from a place God called us if you don't be careful with it. Right? As a business individual, if you don't maintain your integrity, you're at risk of losing business. Isn't that right? And so God is looking ahead here. He said, I found me somebody over there in Jesse's house. So Samuel said, well, you know, I don't want to go because if Saul finds out, he'll have me killed, basically. And they said, well, here's how you go. Now verse 4 says, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came into Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Oh, do we ever need to get back to some fear of the Lord like they had? I mean, they might have been a bunch of heathens in that town, but at least when the prophet came into town, they had some fear. They had some sense. Huh? Man, we need a revival and reverence for the Lord. I'm just saying, as a whole, you know, this is the kind of reverence that we need to have. You know, the whole town, their whole community was nervous. And he said, yeah, I came peaceably. I came to sacrifice to the Lord and, you know, sanctify yourselves and come with me and so on. And verse 16, it came to pass when they were come that he looked at Eliab or Eliab, however you want to pronounce that, I'll go with it. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not at his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Well, did the Lord consider him? But the son was missing something. There was something the Lord was looking for. I mean, the Lord's always looking for certain things in people to use them. You know, it's a great honor to be used of the Lord today. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we did a little shopping the other day. Actually, we went back to Western Pennsylvania. I went to see Mom. Mom's recovering from hip surgery. I told you about it. And so she's recovering from some hip surgery there. And so we went, spent a couple hours with her, prayed with her, and we had to come home. That we had to come home. We couldn't stay. It was just a day trip out and back. And so we stopped at this place and went into this place. It was a luggage store. I was looking for something, and we stopped there, and I engaged with the lady working in there, and I don't know how we got started, but she just began to rattle off all these ailments. I mean, I didn't tell her, you know, I didn't tell her, hey, we pastor a church. I don't lead off with those things ever. And so she's just began to tell us all about this. She's got lupus, and she's got this, and she's got that. And all of a sudden, I'm you know, my spirit on the inside. I'm right. I'm home. You know, I got to pray for this girl. You know, I pray, believe God for some healing for this woman, man. She's, you know, younger than me, and she's got all these problems. And you know, my heart is just going out. I mean, this is how we all ought to be, called compassion for people. And so, of course, you know, I was in there for a few minutes, and then these ladies come in the store and started talking to her, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking around, I'm waiting, and, because I didn't want to engage with them in there because, you know, sometimes you need to just have the right kind of atmosphere before you get bold and say, hey, you know, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, or I'd like to pray with you, you know, whatever. And so I had to wait for a little while. I kept looking over and over at the same luggage they had. Didn't have much in there, you know. But finally they got done leaving. I said, thank you, Lord. Get them out of here quick, Lord. I'm in a hurry. You know, I thought that. I didn't say that. I thought that. You know, Lord, get them out of here quick, will you? And so finally they got to leave. And I said, hey, I said, do you mind? I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And she says, well, I'm Catholic. Of course, that's fine. And so I didn't even address it. You know, I just said, well, wonderful. You know what I mean? I don't have time for a doctrinal discussion, you know. I just want to pray with you. And so I just held her by the hand. I prayed over and believed God. I asked her, I said, will you believe in miracles? I said, I believe in miracles. And I'm believing God's going to give you one. And so, you know, I may never see that woman again. And I don't even know what her name was. And I don't care. You know, point is this. It's always an honor to be used by the Lord. And the Lord's always looking for certain things in people's lives. And I believe integrity be one of them. I believe willingness might be one too. Got to be willing, don't you? And willing to get out of your comfort zone, you know. So God considered this son, but he said that I have refused him. Now notice this middle of verse 7. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and so forth, went on down through there. And verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, Are all these all your children? He said, well, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's out there and he keeps the sheep. I mean, you know, like you don't really want to hear. He isn't even on my scope here. He's watching the sheep. And Samuel said, well, go get him. We're not going to sit down till he comes to. And of course, he sent and he brought him. Now, he was ruddy and with all beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You know, it's amazing to me how the, you know, something lesson to be learned here, the Spirit of God could come on you for a service for a future time. Just something to think about while we're here. God may have something to do. He may even anoint you for something. But sometimes you got to grow and develop before you can stand in it, before you can walk in it, before you can enter into that phase of perhaps some type of ministry for the Lord. A lot of times I notice this. I notice this a lot of times. I've seen giftings manifest in people from time to time. And I know they just need some time to grow and to develop. And sometimes they run off too early. Sometimes they leave it alone and forget about it. But if you stay walking with the Lord right, He'll come back and He'll keep coming back to that thing and He'll work on it in your spirit. I mean, there's even been things with me, you know, that I believe that, you know, the Lord has put in me that haven't come to pass. Yeah, just timing issue. But what I want you to see here is that the Lord saw something. Now let's go over to something here in David. Let's go over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 mentions this as well. We're talking about integrity. And how that it's a major key to building an excellent spirit within us. Psalm 78 and verse 70 says this, "And he chose David also his servant, and he took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the," what? "Integrity of his heart. And he guided them by skillfulness of his hand." So you see, it was the integrity of God, of David. It was the, because integrity is an issue of the heart. That's what it is. It's not, you know, integrity is not necessarily something that is based on how smart you are, how educated you are, because you can be educated in the world system and have no integrity at all. Isn't that right? I mean, we know folk like that. And then we also know folks that, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade education, but they don't got any integrity either. In no respecter of persons. So those things are not significant. The heart is the issue where God looks at to determine whether He can use them for something great, something small, something in between. And the thing about it is, if you don't have integrity today, you can get some tomorrow. You can start working on it tonight. Lord, forgive me for not dealing right with people. Forgive me, Lord, for choosing to do the wrong thing when the right thing wasn't that hard to do. Forgive me. You can start today and bring that area up. Genesis chapter 20. Turn there with me, please. Integrity is an issue of the heart. Now, here's another example that I found was interesting. In Genesis 20, says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister,' and Abimelech, the king of Gerar," I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but I never am, "sent and took Sarah. But God," watch this now, "but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, 'Behold, you're a dead man.'" I mean, that's a bad night. That's a bad dream. You know what? I mean, that's a worst case scenario right there. You go to bed and in the night, God says, "You're a dead man." Huh? And so he went on to say, For the woman which you have taken, she's a man's wife. And Abimelech had not come near her. But he said, Lord, will thou slay also righteous nation? She said not unto me, she's my sister. Or said he not unto me, she's my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother in the, watch this, integrity of mine heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. How many know Abimelech's pleading his case? And rightfully so. And you and I would be as well. And then God said unto him in the dream, yeah, I know that you didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore I allowed thee not to touch her. Notice that God called him touching her, if he would have, a sin against him. Interesting, isn't it? And so basically he had to restore her, and he did. He restored her to Abraham, and then he went on to talk a little bit about more about that. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 2. Now, I know we read this over the last couple of weeks. Job chapter 2. Bless you. In Job chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil and still holds fast his integrity. So we knew that, you know, Job underwent a whole lot of affliction through this time, but he maintained his integrity. And of course, verse 9 says, then his wife said to him, do you still maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Not good counsel from the wife. We talked about wives on Sunday. Don't give this kind of counsel to your husband. Right? And verse 10, at the end of that, says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So we see here some excellent examples in the Bible of what integrity is, what God is looking for, what he's watching for. You think he watches it in us? You think he looks for it in us? All right, Psalm 26. Let me give you some things that we can do to build this in our lives. Things we need to know. Number one, Psalm 26. In verse 11 says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Number one, integrity is a choice. You can choose to do it. You can choose to maintain your integrity. You can choose to be a person of integrity. And when you fail at this, because, you know, probably at some point in life, we might fail at this. And when we do, just say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me be stronger next time and not yield to doing something, saying something, acting a certain way. That's not a good reflection of integrity. And then just get back up and move forward. Get stronger. Allow life to make you stronger. Amen. So number one, integrity is a choice. Number two, integrity is a result of fearing God. There's a lot of things that we should do and we don't do because we fear the Lord. Isn't that right? A good, healthy fear of God is necessary. It's necessary in an individual. It's necessary in a community. It's necessary in a church body, a good, healthy fear of God. Amen. Number three, Integrity is evidence of trusting God. You know, swear to your own hurt and change not. Integrity is evidence of trusting God. When you walk with integrity, you're saying, hey, Lord, I trust you. I don't care what, you know, man thinks, or maybe my position on this isn't acceptable to man. Maybe I'll be facing rejection. I'm not going to go along with the crowd, but Lord, I'm going to maintain my integrity because I'm trusting you. Number four, integrity can keep you from sliding. Notice there, verse 1 of you're still in Psalm 26, right? He says, verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not what? Do you see it? Integrity will keep you from sliding. I shall not slide. It'll keep you from sliding. It'll keep you in trusting the Lord. Chapter 25, you're close. Psalm 25. Notice what he says here in verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I will wait on thee. Integrity will preserve you. That means it'll keep you. Psalm 41. A couple more here. Psalm 41. Y'all doing all right? Going pretty fast, I know. Might get you out here early. Be all right. Psalm 41 says, verse 12, as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity. So you see, integrity will preserve you. It'll keep you held up. God will keep you up in the process of it. Proverbs, let's go to there now. Proverbs chapter 11. Notice what he says here in verse 3. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. So integrity will be a guide for you. What should I do in this decision? Well, what would integrity do? I'm not sure what to do. I got conflicting opportunities or choices here. Not really sure. Well, think about the result of your choices. Think about what your choices are going to produce, and allow the one that promotes integrity to be the one that you choose. Should we do that? Should we always do that? Should we always live that way? Absolutely. Integrity, allow integrity to be a guide for you. Number seven, integrity is actually a product of wisdom and understanding. This might be a little more difficult to see, but I thought about this. Proverbs 19 in verse 1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Now, it's not that you have to always choose between one or the other. You don't have to be poor to walk in integrity. Don't say that. It's just as it'd be better to be poor and have integrity. You don't have to be poor to have integrity. There's a difference there, right? It says better to be poor with integrity. And if you had to make that choice, you know, just choose integrity no matter what the cost. That's basically what he's saying. So therefore I say, you know, integrity is a byproduct of wisdom and understanding. Integrity, number eight, integrity will bless your children. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are what? Blessed after him. Blessed after him. I mean, this is a good motive here for us to walk with integrity. How about it, dads? Sure it is. allows our children, puts our children in position for blessings. Let's go to 1 Kings, and then I think we'll quit here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 3. This prayer here, I call it a prayer, was a prayer that I had prayed for many years. Need to pick it back up again. If the Lord prompts me, I'll definitely pick it back up again, because it's what I call a prayer that every minister should pray. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, here in verse 5 says, In Gibeon the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what you shall, and I shall give it. And Solomon said, well, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he had walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Would you call that integrity? This is Solomon talking to the Lord now, because the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, ask me what you want and I'll do it for you. I mean, that's a good dream. Huh? Not like Abimelech king, right? Listen, God will never show you a bad dream that he won't also show you a way to change it. You understand that? A lot of times people struggle sometimes in how to discern certain things, God will never give you something negative about your life without showing you how to fix it. I know a lot of times we come into church world and we begin to read our Bible, begin to pray, begin to establish a relationship with God, and it takes time to grow and to develop and to be able to sort out some of the thoughts that come to your mind as to know whether this is from the Lord or it's from God. You know, God doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. You know, because we, bless you, you know, we've taught many times the Bible teaches man's a three-part being. He's spirit, he possesses a soul, and he lives in a body, which we call the earth suit. The earth suit is just a temple that your spirit and soul dwell in. That's all that it is. You are first and foremost and primarily a spiritual being. Your spirit has an inner man. The scripture talks about the inner man, or the hidden man of the heart. Ephesians talks about it. Paul wrote about it. The inner man, the hidden man, that's your spirit man on the inside. That's the man inside here in your spirit. That's where God speaks. And your spirit man conveys that message up into your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul has different faculties. Your soul's faculties have the ability to connect with the intellectual world. Your soul faculties have the ability to reason. But God don't speak to your soul. Because God's not a soul. God has a mind, but he's not a mind. God has a body, but he's not a body. The Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit. God is a spirit being. He is spirit, and you are spirit. You have a human spirit. Therefore, when God speaks, he speaks spirit to spirit. And this is where, you know, this kind of teaching and training really needs to be on a regular reminder for all of us, because too often we educate our soul, our mind, and we don't educate our spirit. Or we could say it like this. Sometimes we educate our mind at our spirit's expense. And we should be educating our spirit despite the intellect of our mind. Because God will always speak something to your spirit. For example, you don't need anybody to tell you you did wrong. Not when you're born again. You know it. No matter what you do, no matter how your emotions calculate, you just look inside here, you know exactly what's wrong. It's a compass. We call it our conscience. The voice of our human spirit is our conscience. When God speaks to you, He bears witness with something that's in your spirit. Therefore, if and think about this now. Every time Jesus appeared to His disciples, He never appeared or approached them with condemning, guilty, or fearful words. In fact, just the contrary, when Jesus appeared on the water, come on, when Peter and them were on the water, he didn't say, hey, you afraid? No, he said what? Fear not, it's me. Were they afraid? You better believe they were. They were terrified. They thought it was a ghost or something. They had no idea. But you see, and so when he entered into the house after the resurrection of the dead, and he approached Thomas and said, hey, here's my hands, here's my side. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And he always enters with peace. He always used the peace. When God speaks to you, it'll always be something peace. If He has something to show you that is fearful or could be interpreted as fearful or something of warning or something you need to deal with, He'll always show you how to do it with that. A lot of times we'd be afraid, you know, or we deal with, we don't discern who's doing the speaking. See, Satan's leadership, there's only two sources of leadership available to you and me. It's the being led by the Spirit of the Lord, which Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are who? The sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God. And we have to grow into being led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus never uses condemnation to lead people. Ever. Never. Satan does. In fact, that's really his best tool. Tries to lead by condemnation. Tries to feel guilty. Cause you to feel guilty. Tries to get you to feel bad. And you see, the difference between condemnation and being convicted of something in your spirit is condemnation leaves you down without a way out. Where conviction, if the Lord's going to convict you of something, hey, you're doing this wrong, he'll with that say, here's how you do that right. You're doing this wrong. Don't do that. Do this. Do this. This will be better. And He'll lead you into a right way. The Lord speaks to you, so that's therefore I say, He will never show you something evil and negative. But the devil will. In fact, He'll show you evil and negative all the time. Then He'll try to get you to meditate on that. Then He'll try to get you to dwell on that. So that it consumes you and you become in bondage to it. That's what oppression is. That's the beginning of depression. Oppression is the beginning of depression. Depression is a bondage. Depressed. You didn't start there. You started with oppression. Oppression is an outward force trying to get in. Whenever you've embraced it and allowed it in, it turns into depression. And you've become consumed with something negative that didn't come from the Lord. Because whenever the Lord speaks to you about something, He'll show you how to get out of it. John chapter 8, the woman that came to Him, drug to Him, remember that? Drug in the act of adultery, remember that? Drug to Him. And the Pharisees and all those, you know, hypocrites there, evil people, said, Lord, the law says, stone her, what do you say? They didn't care about her. They cared about embracing and trapping Him. That's all they cared about. Because see, he represented, thank you, Lord, He represented something that they could not get by the works of the law. He represented righteousness, truth, grace, integrity. Jesus represented everything that the religious people could not get because they were only trying to get it through the law, through works of the law. And they couldn't get it, couldn't obtain it. Because you see, righteousness does not come by works of the law. It comes by how? It comes by faith. Righteousness comes by faith in the work of Christ. And because of the work of Christ, you have the privilege. I have the privilege of receiving complete forgiveness from God. And because of that, it places us in a position of right standing with God, which is what righteousness is. And so when people ask you, who are you? Do not lie. Well, I'm just a sinner, Pastor. That's a lie. That's who you were. It's not who you are. That's to be a lie. You'd be lying. Well, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. I'd be lying. You're lying. That's who you were. Who you are is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because He has given me full pardon. He has washed away my sins. He has exchanged His holiness, His godliness for my ungodliness, my unholiness. He has exchanged His righteousness for my unrighteousness. You see, that's what Paul talked about in Corinthians, where he talked about shall you yoke yourself with that which is unrighteous? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? With fellowship hath Belial with the Lord? And the contrast goes back and forth. Amen. And so a lot of times, so when Jesus was the woman in adultery was brought to Him, they said the law says stone Him, trying to catch Him in His words. The Bible says the most amazing thing ever, right? One of them. There's a lot of amazing things in the Bible. It's all amazing, actually. Writes down and stoops down and writes in the ground. But no one ever knew what that was because it doesn't say what it is. We can only assume what it was. But we need to be careful with that. But here's what we do know. He wrote in the ground, and he didn't respond immediately. But when He was writing in the ground, we know this. They all left. And Jesus said to her, where's your condemners? And she said, well, they're not here, Lord. And then He said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. So see, Jesus always brings, if He brings something that's strong to you, He'll always show you a way of escape. But if it's just a condemn, you're going to die, there's sickness, blah, you know, there's no way to get out. That's not the Lord. That's a lie. You need to reject that. You need to resist that. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't allow him to be the leader in your life. You know, he always tries to lead our lives. Feeling guilty. I've had to work on that for years. Still got to work on it a little bit. Doing things because, oh, I feel good. I need to do that. I should just. Huh? Come on, guilt is an enemy. It's evil. Jesus always gives us hope and a way out. And so we need to always discern who's speaking to us. How do we discern that? You've got to grow to a place. You look past your thought life and your emotions up here and look down into your spirit. Lord, what do you say here? Because God's a spirit. He speaks spirit to spirit. Lord, what do you say here? What are you saying in my spirit? And really, before we even do that, we should say, Lord, what's your word say about that situation? Because if we have God's word on the situation, then we know what His thoughts are on it. Amen. And then say, Lord, show me, you know, give me witness in my spirit about, you know, what you're leading, how you're leading, what you're saying, what you're doing. And then we develop and follow that. And if our emotions say, you know, whatever, you know, I know when I came back from Bible school years ago, was working Western Pennsylvania, job opportunity came to me. I did the math because I had to travel about 20, 20-some miles. It was further, a lot further than I was. And the responsibilities, it was a management position. It was a responsibilities a lot more. And the raise, you know, the raise that I got for doing it, it did not compensate for the driving time and the fuel. And that's, you know, whatever, however many years ago that was. 25, 30 years ago almost. And I said, you know, Lord, this sounds nice, but, and Lord said, I want you to take that job. I said, but Lord, that doesn't make any sense to take that job because that job doesn't, you know, but in my spirit, in here, see, I had a witness to do it. Okay. I do that despite of what I know and think up in my mind. This is how we live. This is how you live by faith. This is how you grow and develop so that you can follow God right. You learn to develop your spirit on the inside and follow that. Amen. Now, 1 Kings chapter 3, we see here the Lord appeared to Gibeon, and of course he reminds him about his father, how he was merciful to his father. And we're in the middle here. We're in verse 7, I think. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. Now, I don't know if that was literally age-wise or just maturity-wise. Maybe both. Either way, this is what he said about himself. He said, I'm but a little child, for I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who am I able to judge so great of a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked him of this thing. And God said, well, because you asked this and not asked for the life thyself for long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. I mean, God was very pleased with this answer. He said, behold, I've done according to thy words, and lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I mean, there's no one ever going to be as wise as Solomon on this planet. Einstein was a fool in comparison to Solomon. You understand that? Because the word says, ain't no one going to be like you ever. And then that settles it. That's how it is. He said, I've also given thee that which thou have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among of the kings like thee all thy days. And here comes a condition one. And if thou will walk in my ways and keep my statutes, I mean, that deals with integrity. And my commandments as thy father David walked, then I will lengthen thy days. And so we see, you know, great example of how the Lord not just was looking for integrity, but he was also pleased with this situation. Chapter 9, same book. Chapter 9. And it came to pass, Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord. I mean, David wanted to build the house, didn't he? But the Lord wouldn't let him build the house. It was in his heart to do it. But Solomon built it. And verse 2, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, watch this, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish thy throne, thy kingdom upon the house of Israel forever. So you see here that the Lord is always looking for integrity. Now, I didn't want to take time to, I'm going to quit there. I didn't take time to talk about Abigail. You know, Abigail, one of my favorite stories. I love favorite stories in the Bible, you know. But, you know, Abigail had a husband. And there was, when David was out with his men, he sent some of his men to get some food there. And of course, was it Nabal? Somebody help me out here. Was it Nabal? Nabal greeted the men harshly and, you know, basically, you know, said, ah, away with David, who's he, you know, so on. You know, just blew him. So David, when he heard about it, he got angry and, you know, he said, oh, all right, well, I've been here helping out your men, you know, protecting all your herd out here for all this time. You could at least give us something to eat, you know. And so you want to reward me with evil? All right. So he got his men and he strapped on their swords and went, he said, we're just going to kill everybody. We're going to kill all these people right now. And so, you know, when David's men came riding for you, it was a bad day because these guys were like, these guys just weren't like normal fighting men. These guys were like off the chart warriors. And so, of course, Nabal's wife, Abigail, heard about it. So she went out and kind of interceded, hurry up, got some maids together, got some food, took it out there and, you know, kind of fell down and worshiped David and said, hey, I'm sorry for my husband. He's just a fool. In fact, we made some fun about that word for a while, didn't we? Anybody remember what the Bible word is there in King James? Churlish. Remember that? The Bible says that Nabal was churlish. And so, what in the world is not? It's not one. Have you used churlish in your vocabulary this week anywhere? Probably not. And so it basically means just stubborn and, you know, just, he was just mean and stubborn, you know, and so. And so anyway, so David received the intercession basically of Abigail, and then he went on his way. And then Nabal, is it Nabal?
Yes.
He died. And when David found out that he died, he sent somebody to take him for his wife. She became David's second wife. So here, because of this woman's integrity, she went from the wife of Belial, because that's what the Bible called him, the wife of Belial. She went from the wife of Belial to the wife of a king in a short time. Why? Because she had integrity. Because she did the right thing. Despite the ignorance and foolishness of her husband. Anyway, y'all okay? Let's stand up. Again, can we all improve in these areas and in this area of integrity? Sure we can. Do you think that you'll be tested any time in the near future? you know you will be. You know, I mean, if we can just get by with a day or two. I mean, I don't know if we, I mean, just a day or two, if we can get by. You know, the tests always come, don't they? In every area of our lives, every part of the Word of God, we always get challenged. Are we going to do it? Are we going to be doers because we're going to have opportunities? Are we going to be doers of the Word of God or just hearers only? Well, we know James says if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're self-deceived. But that in us, right? Let's say it together. Lord, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of your Word, Lord. And I thank you and ask you for helping me. Thank you for helping me. In Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, may you strengthen each one here tonight. May you strengthen us, Lord. that as we continue our walk, continue our journey with you, Lord, that you would continue to bring us up, increase us in wisdom, understanding of your word, increase our commitment, increase our fear and reverence for you, Lord. Increase us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for being so, so gracious, so good to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well,